The Epistle for the Ascension of our Lord is taken from Acts chapter 1. The foremost treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach until the day on which, giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, for 40 days appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They therefore, who were to come together, asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Mark chapter 16. At that time, as the 11 were at table, Jesus appeared to them, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God. But they going forth preached everywhere, and the Lord working withal, and confirming the word with signs that followed. Please be seated. Why do you look up to heaven? In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This question comes to the apostles as our Lord was ascended into heaven before their eyes. In a sense, why do you look up to heaven? Because our Lord had to ascend into heaven. It is something that our Lord warned the apostles that he must leave them in a little while, that they will not see him any longer. And so he told them that he must go in order for them then to receive the Holy Ghost, to strengthen them, so therefore they could go out to preach to all nations, that they will fulfill the mission that Almighty God had in store for them. And so, yes, when our Lord had warned them that he must leave, they were sad, but that's what he promised to them, that they would receive the Holy Ghost, that they would continue on and to preach the word of God to all nations. But it's interesting to see how also then, in the gospel account, how our Lord upbraided them for their lack of belief. When they were told that he had come, that he had appeared to different people, that they still did not believe that. Again, we think of doubting Thomas. St. Thomas, where he wouldn't believe until he had seen our Lord himself. And so, yes, our Lord upbraided them for their lack of belief, their lack of trust. And I think that's one of the things that for us on this great feast day that we also think about. The hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, this great hope that he presents to all of us, it is the fruit of the mystery of the ascension of our Lord into heaven. This virtue of hope, one of the three theological virtues. That the hope that we have in our own salvation, and that salvation comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from our Lord's death on the cross, his resurrection, and that is the hope that we have from that. And so that's where then the idea in the sense of, even as our Lord is being ascended into heaven, the apostles are looking up, obviously sad, obviously wondering also and being fearful, where does he go? What are we going to do now? What's going to happen? But that is something that we have to understand that also even to us, This idea of keeping our mind on the heavenly things to help us in this life here. Because for all of us, yes, we have to live in this world. The things of this world can kind of drag us down. But if we keep our mind on the heavenly things, if we understand and to see the hope that we have in our Lord, I mean, it is the purpose of why our Lord came. I mean, we go back to all the sense and the idea of when our Lord was born into this world, He came with the purpose of redeeming mankind. And so then, therefore, that is the hope that we have in when we see our Lord's ascension. We realize that, well, that helped to get start the birth of the church, that the Holy Ghost would then come down upon the apostles to strengthen them so therefore they could go out to preach to all nations. And that is then the forming of the birth of the church with Pentecost. And that's something that we celebrate then soon enough on the 24th of May. We celebrate this great, the birth of the church. And through the birth of the church is the means of our salvation too, of all that our Lord has done for us. And so that's where then we hold out this hope that we have of being saved, of getting to heaven ourselves, of following in the example that our Lord gives to us as He's being ascended into heaven. Yes, He's ascended by His own power. But God willing that we make it to heaven, it is through the graces of God. And so that's what we spend our life for here, trying to get to heaven, receiving the graces of God. But yes, we must also keep our mind and focus on the things of heaven too. And that's where then our Lord instructs them, you know, instructs them in understanding what their mission is, to go to preach to all nations, to be strong in the faith, and realizing that so that therefore that, yes, they can help the people save their souls. And so these are the things that we must pray for in this. That's why the Collect of the Mass, yes, it reminds us of the fact, dwell in mind amid the heavenly things. We live in this world, yes, but we must keep our mind set on the things of heaven. We must look to heaven for these graces from God. And so that's where when we understand this great feast of the Ascension, the signification of that, at the principal Mass, the Paschal candle gets extinguished and is taken away because our Lord is then gone. Because we know that the Paschal candle signifies our Lord. That's what we had at the Paschal vigil of bringing it in. Lumen Christi, the light of Christ that comes to the world, to the dark world, that to the Gentiles is promoted. And so we see all this symbolism that the church gives to us, what the liturgy tries to help to explain to us, in order for us to live the life that is pleasing to God. So therefore that we may get to heaven. And so, to trying to understand all the liturgy, raising our hearts and our minds to God, that's what the church gives to us in terms of the liturgy itself. Our prayers must ascend to heaven. And so there's much for us to think about on this day. Yes, we have the understanding of our Lord upbraiding them for their lack of belief in Him and His words that He promised to them, their fearfulness that they run from that. And yet they had our Lord for 3 years. There's also then the promise of the Holy Ghost coming to them. And for Him explaining to them, this is what you must do. You must preach the Word of God to all nations. Convert the people to the Word of God. But it would only come because the apostles were strengthened by the Holy Ghost. It would only come for them when they had that, because otherwise, yes, they were fearful. They lacked that trust in God. And so it's a good lesson for us. I mean, you see with the apostles themselves that they were with our Lord for 3 years, watching the miracles that He did, seeing all the different things that our Lord would do, and yet when it came to that, they left Him. It shows the weakness of human nature for one, even in the apostles themselves. And that's one of the things I was talking to the children in Bible history about. The similarity that you have between St. Peter and Judas, even. They both denied our Lord. I mean, obviously, there's a huge difference between the two because St. Peter was contrite for his sin. And Judas obviously despaired of it. But you still see the prince of the apostles. You still see him with his lack of belief and trust in God. He denies that he knows our Lord because he was fearful. This is before the Holy Ghost came to him. And so he was fearful of it, but he had spent 3 years with our Lord. And here we have the Prince of the Apostles denying our Lord. And so it's important for us then to understand that, to see, yes, the weakness of human nature. And that is why we pray for this hope in our own resurrection, being resurrected with our Lord into heaven, brought up to heaven. It is through the power of God and through the graces that we receive, yes. But it also requires from us a belief and a trust in God, a belief in his words. And that's for us. We can go back to the gospel account and see all the words of our Lord. We can see all the accounts of his miracles, the parables that are there. And yet a lot of times we too have a lack of trust in God, a lack of belief in God. We question things. We wonder about things. But we see God is in control of all things. And that's where it's the encouragement for us on a great feast like this is the trust that we should have in God, the hope that we should have in him, hope in his words that he says to us, hope in our own salvation. And so these are the things to think about. These are things to pray about. As I say, on this great feast day, we're winding down the Easter season itself, coming toward Pentecost and the birth of the church. And so let us reflect upon all that our Lord has done in this Easter season. Starting off with his agony, the passion that he suffered for all of us, his death on the cross, but then his resurrection. That he is this true light to the Gentiles that has been preached to us to believe in him, but to have that trust in him, that hope in him. And that is the greatest proof that we can show of our love for our Lord Jesus Christ, is trusting in his words. So as I say, and to leave you with the collect of the Mass, that may also ourselves dwell in mind amid heavenly things. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.